Welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This program is brought to you by Heather Barnes Media, Austin-based media company that is the leading food and product photographer in the South, along with Edward Jones Financial Advisors, and we appreciate both their long-standing support of this network. If you want to find out more about Heather Barnes, just go to heatherbarnes.com today, and you can look at her beautiful portfolio of photography. And, of course, you can contact Serban Maracini, S-E-R-B-A-N, period, M-A-R-A-C-I-N-E, at edwardjones.com. Our very special guest today is Sally Huss. Well, she is a legend, and we are looking forward to talking to Sally today. She has done so much in her lifetime, and when you talk about an extraordinary life of significance, she's done everything from working in Hollywood for Samuel Goldwyn Jr., managing Paul Simon's music publishing, being a tennis champion from U.S. and Wimbledon junior champion, and went on to become one of the top senior tennis players in the world, and is a great artist. Licensed artist, has 26 Sally Huss galleries around the country. Sally, welcome to Success Made to Last Legends.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be here.
It's so nice to have you on. And Sally, you know, besides that very, very short biography that I just read, tell us a little bit more about yourself, starting with where you're from.
Well, I'm originally from Bakersfield, California, in the heat, and that's where I learned to play tennis. And I went from there and went on to Occidental College in the Los Angeles area, and then eventually graduated from USC. But I was a tennis player in all my youth, and then went on to do other things. I played during a time when there was no money in the sport and no real career. So I did other things. And that's how I ended up being working for Samuel Goldwyn Jr. in film, and moving on and doing some television things, and then eventually working for Paul Simon for his publishing company. And I kind of moved around like that and did whatever was the next thing to do until I started teaching tennis in a very different way, which was after I'd studied Zen and did some spiritual work. And I learned how to play tennis in a very different way with a different mindset and very relaxed. And so I taught tennis that way in Beverly Hills in Malibu. And it was great fun. Went on the tour, back on the tour many years after I'd been off of it, and played again. And it was fun to take a different, with a different attitude and play in a competitive sport without being competitive. So it was very powerful. And that's what I've done so far. Now we're in Colorado Springs. We've lived all over. We've built a resort in Aspen for a fellow out of New York, and then moved from one place to the next, and then eventually got into my artwork. So I had married the head of advertising promotion for Hallmark Cards, and we ended up going on our own and developing these galleries, which eventually closed because of 9/11. Retail closed, but we had these wonderful galleries, had great fun with that. Wrote a lot of things, and my last big change was getting into children's books and writing and illustrating children's books. So I have over 100 in that line of books. They're wonderful.
Wow.
And they have, all good values and how to develop certain habits in children, good habits. And that's been a real blessing to be able to do those books. And anyway, so now we're in Colorado Springs, and I teach a little tennis, and I teach a little pickleball. I've gotten into pickleball. I'm crazy about it, and I teach anyone that will listen to me. So that's what I do now. I even have a pickleball book.
What a beautiful career that you've had. And I, you know, when we did a little bit more research on you, we came to the conclusion that you are an original polymath, almost like a Da Vinci, who over the course of a lifetime, everything that you got yourself into, you strive to become a master of. And I'm wondering if you could give a little bit of advice to our listening audience, especially the young entrepreneurs that maybe lack the focus that you had in your lifetime, about how you've been able to master tennis and art and children's books and almost everything you've touched.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was raised to be a champion from the time I was 10. So I think my father had planted that seed of being a champion. And that means, in essence, doing your best, giving your all, focusing, having a goal and going for it. And I think that that's the way things are. And if you actually do that and not scatter your energies, you can succeed greatly in whatever you choose. But that is what seems to be the running theme in my life as I look back, and was that champion's mentality of mastering whatever craft I was into or whatever venue. And so
Well said.
Yeah.
Sally, we'd like to unpack individual chapters of that champion's life and start with lessons that you learned along the way. And let's start with Samuel Golden Jr. What was the big takeaway from your time in working with him and working in Hollywood?
Yeah, working in film was great because I had it was a, you know, one of those fluke things that appear to be a fluke and then seem to be the right thing. Is I just covered for his assistant, who I had no desire to be in that realm, but I covered for his assistant when she was dropped out, and there was a position there, and he had me take care of a wonderful art director, Academy Award winning art director, who was on the film that Sam was making. And I got to take him all around LA to find locations and this and that. And when that part of the business or the scheme of the whole film was done, then I went on and worked when they got into production. And then I took over different situations, and I could go from one thing to the next and talk to the sound man and talk to the lighting guy and talk. So I learned a lot. I was very interested in all aspects of that, and that's how I move forward now. It's just because I was interested, constantly interested in how somebody did something, and could see that and see how they were in the position they were in, and that's how I. So takeaway, I don't know, just that I always tried to do the best, not consciously, it was just innately doing the best at whatever position I was in. So it kept me going, and it moved me forward in every area, not to just get by, but to do the best I could.
There you go.
With the tools I had at the moment, you know, with the tools I had at the moment, and then adding tools as I learned more things.
Sure.
More things. Yeah.
Sally, what were some of the projects that you remember working on during your time with Sam?
Okay. Well, I did a lot of book analysis, writing reviews, and not just reviews, but little synopsis of books, because there are always people like that. We're always looking for the next theme for the next movie. And so I did a lot of reading and that sort of thing. And actually, Steve Bochco came in about the same time that I worked with him. He came in, and that was fun to be with Steve as a young person before he ever, you know, did all those wonderful television shows. So I did that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And did research, did a lot of research on projects, even wrote on some scripts that needed correcting or needed some additional, you know, I kept throwing my ideas out there and that's how it went, you know. Yeah, but I just moved in and kept adding to my skill set, I guess you'd say.
Sure, yeah. That is fantastic.
And what? We worked on a film. Yeah, I worked, the thing which is really nice is that I worked from the beginning of a film, the starting of a film. It was a film that Peter Fonda was in, it was the star in it, and it was called The Young Lovers. And so I got to work from the pre-production all the way to the post-production on it to see how the music was added and that sort of thing at the end. It was really a great experience for a young person. And all of those things, what was really interesting is that all these things in my life had opened up because I had been a really good tennis player. Otherwise, I would not have had those opportunities. You know, you become good at something and it opens the door for something else, you know. And that's how it did, because I was a good tennis player. I met the Goldwyns on a tennis court, and then that led to this, to this, to this. And so that's how it went.
What years were you working with Paul, and what were your fondest memories of that time?
You know, I can't remember dates, but it goes back a long ways. When you're 82 years old, there's a lot of time to catch, to just try to figure out where the times were. But
sure.
In the 60s, we're talking the 60s. 63, I would have been 28, 29. Yeah, 60s, late 60s, I'd say.
Oh my gosh.
And way back. It was when Bridge Over Troubled Waters, that album came out and was so
the
successful.
Seminal album that changed us all.
Yes, that's true. And I had little projects to do, but mostly to keep track of kids writing in, people writing in and wanting to use lyrics for the lyrics for all the songs in that album. I remember that, and also help. Talk with be in touch with those teachers and kids who wanted to use some of those words in their yearbooks. And it was, I thought it was very smart of the teachers to have the kids go through the proper process of asking for permission and then paying something. Paul really wanted everybody to pay something, so it would be $10 or $15 or something, minimal, but they had to do it. And then they were received, got permission to use that. And then I was a representative, supposedly, for the ASCAP and all of that for those functions. It was a long time ago, but it was not a very busy thing for me to do. I didn't do a lot. I just did that. And then I kept track, kept things orderly where I was. It was in Beverly Hills. And at the same time, it was also doing some spiritual work, studying Zen and studying meditation and various things. And from that, I determined how to play tennis in this very different way, in a very relaxed and giving rather than taking manner of playing tennis. And so in doing that, I wanted to go out and teach tennis privately, and that's what I did. So I left the music publishing company and went out on private courts and taught tennis in Beverly Hills and Malibu. And that was fun because there were always interesting people, Barbara Streisand and Marilyn Bergman and Joel Grey and fun people, Helen Reddy, So, and they were creative people, so they liked the kind of tennis that I was teaching. And that was fun. So that's
you taught
how I moved
Helen Reddy how to play tennis?
Well, yes. I mean,
wow.
She was
one of our favorites, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Billie Jean had given her my name to call for a lesson. So I went to her home and would teach. Yeah. But that's all I remember about it. I do remember being there at the home, but I don't remember how well she played. I remember Barbara broke a fingernail, and that seemed to be disastrous, you know. So you never know. The whole of, you know, if you're a teacher of anything, particularly for movement that has to do with movement, you can just see the whole personality of a person in the movement and how they approach. How aggressive they are towards the tennis ball and how much they want to win, and you know, the whole thing is there. So it's fun to see. It's fun to teach.
That is so great. I love your storytelling. Hey, we're gonna take a quick commercial break for Heather Barnes Media. We are talking to the one and only Sally Huss, and a wonderful, legendary living polymath who has mastered everything, and she's done it by having a champion's heart, which was a great lesson from her dad. And on the back half of the show, we're going to be talking about Zen and how that's influenced her. So we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Natamu choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com. Focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
And we're back with Sally Huss. And hey, Sally, on this side of the show, I want to unpack your life as a tennis player and get into more of this, the mentality of being a champion. Let's start with this. Who introduced you to Zen?
Well, at a certain point in my life, I was around very wise people, and that was lucky. But, you know, like really knowing people. And that was a great thing. And I think they introduced me to some books and things. And I really liked Alan Watts, and I liked Zen and the Art of Archery, those kinds of things. And I was, because I was teaching tennis, it was easy to apply that information and that attitude and change your consciousness. So it was not from a personal conquering, winning, but a consciousness that was in the middle of a match rather than from your own point of view. So it became very different. And I also did dance therapy, and that helped because that freed me up. When I had originally played tennis, I had of course the great George Tolley as my coach, and it was very rigid strokes and precise movements and that kind of thing. And when I got into dance therapy, I freed everything up and I became much more effective and more powerful, just as a player, but also in teaching. I'm teaching people and helping people free themselves up so they're not locked to certain motions and certain patterns. So that was a great result from the study of those kinds of things. So
And the underpinning of that is this giving versus taking approach. And when you are teaching people, whether it's teaching senior players or anybody, much less this podcast, how would you advise them on starting out the whole idea of getting their arms around Zen and, more importantly, getting themselves to embrace the concept of giving versus taking?
Yeah. It's very different if you focus on going on the court not to win a match, to give your all. So it's a giving rather than taking. And so you give your energy, you give your focus, and you let it go, and the points come to you. The score is, for instance, none of your business. The score is not your business. Your effort is your business. And that's when you can change that and get a person into the enjoyment of just hitting the ball, flowing with the ball around the court, like a dance around the court, that becomes a higher priority than winning the point. And in the process, you will win more points in that manner. That's what I found to be true. So anyway, that's what I try to kind of push people in that direction.
I bet you're not pushing them. I bet you are doing it in such a graceful manner that it becomes a lifestyle, because that sounds bigger than tennis, Sally.
Yeah. Well, and if you correct something on the tennis court, if you can change something on the tennis court, have them let go, relax more, whatever it is, that will, of course, influence everything.
Of course.
In their whole life, you know, it'll affect them. So it's a bigger, you don't have to talk about it, but it will touch everything in their life and make it better. It's interesting how I've taken that same thing and moved it to pickleball, because pickleball can be very aggressive. But it's
indeed
so
it can.
Fun.
Yeah, we've been playing pickleball for the last couple of years now, and we love it. And I still play tennis, as you know, and I still owe you a video on my forehand. You need to repair. It ought to, probably needs to start with Zen versus just repairing that.
Emotion.
But pickleball is so fantastic. For those that don't even know about it, you want to give them a one-minute commercial on why pickleball is so fantastic.
It's so great. Yeah, right. Well, first of all, anybody can play it, and it's played at any level, and you can continually get better. You keep adding skills to your repertoire, and it's fun. It's very social, and it's very welcoming. It's a sport that is welcoming. You can go to any recreational facility, any park, anywhere, and, you know, peruse the players and see where you would be a fit, and you could say, could I play in? And of course, yes, they will let you play in. And you meet friends, you enjoy it, there's a lot of laughing, and it's just a delightful sport that, you know, now has become more professional in its nature, and money has come into it. So it's interesting to see if that affects the enjoyment of the game, you know, as it kind of affected tennis in a strong way, because I played before money and then, you know, after money. So it was a very different, different kind of thing. So we'll see what happens with pickleball, but anybody can play it and everybody enjoys it. Everybody
it is so
has fun.
It is so fun.
Yeah. It is
hey,
fun.
Sally,
yeah.
With about 7 minutes left in this show, I want to take a minute and make sure that we give a special thanks to your husband, who I understand saw your ability in art, and I understand that he influenced at least some of the writing of your many books. So you want to just take a minute to thank, I believe it's Marv.
Yeah. Marv. Yeah, he was, you know, head of advertising and promotion for Hallmark Cards. So he had a background of being around writers and illustrators. And once we got together and I was doing small things and small pieces of art and this and that, and he would start looking at it. And he's a person that can see a bigger picture. I never could see a big picture. And he could easily see that and what could be done. And so that's how we put in, you know, I was scared to death when we put in our first gallery in Laguna, a little gallery, and I was just terrified that to sign a lease, all that. And I remember it was $1,800 right on Coast Highway. And he was in the space, cleaning it up one evening and getting it ready for us to open it. And I put a big painting in the window with a light on it. And I was terrified of that whole thing. And then somebody drove by before we opened and ask about the painting, and so I sold it for $1,800. So that was the month's rent. And I said, okay, I'm in. I'm okay. But he could see that. And then he would help me. You know, I did a lot of outdoor shows to kind of get the feel of things and what people wanted. And I could see that they wanted some thoughts that would help them in their lives. And I could write something that was short, crisp, and appropriate for that issue or that subject, and then do a little piece of art for it. And that's why I created this whole line of gift art pieces, which we now I've redone and put them on my website and the more popular ones, and I have them there. But those things turned into something called Happy Musings that I did for King Features out of New York and went to newspapers and were in newspapers across the country. All these little thoughts, little daily thoughts that just, you know, you could almost live by some of them. And, you know, just a thought that mattered more than anything else, you know. And it was easy. He would say, mm-hmm. okay, write something on attitude, bam, you know, write something on this, write something on that. He knew how to put lines of things because of his hallmark experience, how to make a line for professions, a line for family members, a line for inspirational things. So that was very helpful and has always been. He's been my great supporter. He's always had the business end of things and handled that, which is wonderful because I'm not very good with numbers.
Here's to Marv. Wow. And we admire your books and the importance of living happy. I think is probably our favorite. And it, you know, just as a side compliment to you, we had interviewed the Berenstains, and we know Mike Berenstain, the son of Stan and Jan, and your books remind us a lot of Stan and Jan's with the core values, but they're very center, they're whimsical, and I can tell that you're a fun person.
Yeah, you have. That's a good way to sell anything is to have. It's fun, you know. It's fun, and it was always fun. It's always fun to write a book and then turn it into writing. It is the easy part, but doing all the illustrations. That's what takes the time. And I have many more written, but I just haven't had the time to sit down and do the illustrations for the children, certain children's books. But I focus on what I think kids really need. I have a wonderful book, No Smoking, No Drinking, No Drugs, for very young children. And it presents that theme of caring for yourself and looking out for yourself and understanding the consequences, you know, making good choices and the consequences of your actions, things like that, taking something like that that is important and can help. If you plant the seeds when they're very young, then hopefully they will, it will manifest when they're older. So they will make good choices when things come
Absolutely.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
Sally, it's almost as if everything that you've ever touched, you have followed the champion's mentality. It is it may be the most consistent part of any guest that we've ever interviewed before. And it's like, it doesn't matter what you enter into, you went in with this mindset of excellence.
Yes, just to do the best you can.
Exactly.
That was always my concern. Yeah.
You bet.
Thank you.
Tell our listeners where they can contact you and find out more about your enterprise.
Yes, I am. I have a website, sallyhuff.com, and I do a little tweeting, a little Facebook, but it's nothing that I do all the time. And I have all my books there. On all the children's books and the other books. You know, there's a wonderful book on how to find the love of your life, you know, and there's a new pickleball book and plus, as I say, all the children's books. So And then I took some of those happy musings and put them in a little book, The Importance of Living Happy. And then I put 365 reminders of the importance of living happy. So those books are all there. They're all on Amazon, but you can find them and look at them through the website. And I put a few more things. Gosh, I do a couple of purses that are just about as cute as they can be. Now that I don't have a gallery, I don't have licensed products. Like I used to have huge lines of purses. I don't have those anymore. But mm-hmm. So I do a few purses for people that are hand-painted that are just adorable. Things
wow.
like that. I just kind of jump off in different directions. Even some original art there. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's the nature of the Gemini, you know, can do a little bit of everything.
That's right. Sally, it's been an honor to honor you today on our Legends show, and you're so inspirational, and I hope that our listening audience enjoyed you as much as we did, and will buy your books, your series of books, especially for the next generation, because I think what this is all about now at our age is legacy. And leaving the world as a better place than we found it. You've certainly done your job with all these books and everything else. And thank you so much for being on our Legend Show today.
Many thanks. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That was Sally Huss. We appreciate her being on our show today. And wow, now that's a champion. And that's a legend. She just has a legend's heart. And it started with her dad and the approach that he took with her and then every single thing that she got herself into. So that's quite inspirational. We hope that you all enjoyed today's show. And as we always end every program, may you live a life of success, but pursue it with significance. Have a great week.
I am so glad that we met Serban Marasini of Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Serban has been there for all of our life moments, always centered on us and where we want to go. He was instrumental in helping us live around the world, building our media company, and nurturing us as a true partner for the next stage of our lives. You know, there are 19,000 financial advisors serving over 7 million clients. But Serban treats us like we are the only one, and the one that really matters. If you want to contact Serban, call him today at 303-494-2310. Again, the number is 303-494-2310. You know that life is for the living. Why not partner for all of it with Edward Jones?